Here we go with episode number 61.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 61 of Road Trekking, the RV podcast, a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you have a small RV like the road trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, well, this show's for you. We talk about being out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, and sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and tech to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking the Podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. And this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations across North America. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when you're choosing a heating system for your RV. Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE networks. And Leisure Time RV, a family-owned dealership in Central Florida. Your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV. Lots coming up in this episode. We've called it an RV is more than an RV, and we're going to talk about it in a lot of different ways. First of all, there's a story on the blog I put up earlier this week, this course episode being released on November 11th of 2015. I put a story up earlier this week on the blog about how I was using our RV as a moving van, helping my son move some large screen TVs and some furniture, and it's sparked quite a contest of people kind of one-upping me and how they have used their RVs in various ways, and you can find that at roadtrucking.com. But we're going to talk about it more than that. People who don't necessarily spend all of their time camping out in an RV, you'll meet a couple, Kathy and Les, who Jennifer and I have met on the road a number of times, and we got to have dinner with them the other night in Florida, and I think they have a great story about how they use their RV and how it fits into their lifestyle. We've got some great traveling technology tips coming up, a bucket list destination you'll want, and some looked at some technology and innovation that we found as we were wandering about the big, the nation's largest RV show in Hersey, Pennsylvania a few weeks back. We're going to talk about other uses of solar besides those solar panels on the roof of an RV and how that would fit into your outdoor and camping uses. And then also we're going to talk about heating technology and this new hydronic system that seems to be all of the rage these days among various road trekking and RV manufacturers of everything from, you know, fifth wheels and Class A's to Class B's and C's. And we'll talk with the folks from Aldi about just what this new technology means. But first, time for my traveling companion, lifelong traveling companion, and my bride, Jennifer. Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Well, we are coming to you today from one of our favorite spots.
We do like Destin, and we look forward to coming back here. This has kind of become a tradition with us.
How many times have we been? This is our third visit to Destin, Florida, and its environs, and we are just a few dozen yards from the Gulf of Mexico and in our favorite spot at Camp Gulf, which is one of the very few campgrounds you'll find anywhere in Florida that is right on the Gulf of Mexico. Now, true, they only have a few spots that are beachfront, but we've got one that's about as close as it can get, and yeah, they cost a little bit more, but they're not $200 a night like they are during the peak season.
Right, and we're not right in the sand because it was raining, and we kind of thought about that and thought wet sand, dry sand. I think wet sand would be worse than dry sand.
Well, this is, I think, our third night here. We've got another night or two we're going to spend in this area, and then we're going to move on. But we've had some fun. We've been in Alabama earlier this week and got to attend the National Peanut Festival. That was a lot of fun.
learn something as you travel these highways. There's lots of things to learn.
Yeah, we learned all about George Washington Carver, of all places, in Dothan, Alabama. And it's quite a story about him and how many uses of the peanut he discovered, why that was significant, what that means to agriculture as a whole. And we just had some great time looking at small-town America. And there's a story that we did on that on the roadtrekking.com blog that we urge you to read as well.
And my grandfather was a farmer. He cleared his land and farmed it. And he, I remember him letting the fields rest, rotating his crops. I remember that with Grandpa. And then I know the state wanted to buy his land and make it into a park. He had a fit. He did not want it to be a park because he had cleared all those trees for farmland. He wanted it to raise food.
Yeah, I think that's what we really liked about visiting Dothan. It's just getting in touch, seeing the little kids with the FFA and their prize animals that they were showing off.
And I said to you, you know, those are not pets. They know how to slaughter those animals. They're not your cute little pets.
Well, didn't some little kid come up to you and told you you could come and pet his lambs?
He was really a sweet little boy. He said, "You want to come pet my lamb?"
Yeah, and you did.
Yes, he was very proud of his lamb.
We'll go look at the fixtures. We put some photos up, and it was just a lot of fun. If you can't make something like that, maybe you can somewhat enjoy it as you see our take on it. And that was Dothan, Alabama. All right, dear, it's your turn.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Next to RVing, we like reading about RVing and travel almost as much as the going. So we always seem to have some book on hand that gives us ideas for our next trip, or inspiration and understanding about what we are seeing. So for your off-season consideration, here are the top 5 RV-related books either Mike or I have enjoyed the most this past year. Blue Highways, the timeless road story, is a masterpiece in travel writing. Mike read it more than 25 years ago, and even today, the concept of traveling those two-lane state roads, the Blue Highways, on state maps, has inspired us to do the same. If you haven't read this collection of road stories, I'm sure you'll enjoy it immensely. Next, Rand McNally's 2016 Road Atlas. This is large size, large scale, easy to read map that we always take with us. Yes, we do use our GPS and we use our apps on our tablets, but nothing takes the place of a paper map and this book. Updated every year, it is one we buy every year. The Most Scenic Drives in America. This is a coffee table book with gorgeous photographs of 128 drives every RVer needs to take at least once. We always consult it when planning our routes so that we can take in as many of these drives as possible. Next, The Next Exit 2015. If you have traveled the interstate, and we all have to take it at times, this guide is essential. It tells you what businesses and services are at each exit. This is another book you want to buy each year because there is new information added to each edition as businesses open and close, but it's very handy to have and well worth the price. And last but not least, Undaunted Courage. This is a big book full of details and history as it recounts the story of Meriwether Lewis, William Clark, and Thomas Jefferson, and the Lewis and Clark expedition to the West. If your RV travels take you to the West, you will undoubtedly come across some of Lewis and Clark's museums or markers. When you read the book, you'll understand the land you are traveling on much better and appreciate the incredible journey taken by these two pioneers. So there you go. Those are 5 top RV travel-related book recommendations for you. We'll put links to each of them on our show note page. Just go to roadtrekking.com/61.
Questions?
You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers.
Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
I live in my Class A winter round in Pennsylvania, going on my 4th winter now, and I see that you drain your water, fresh water supply. I keep mine as full as possible. As long as it's above the floor, it doesn't freeze because I never let it get that cold in here. It works for me. I don't know how you like it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. Number one, if you have an RV and you do not use it a lot, or it sits idle for a few days without any heat on the inside, and you live in a colder climate, you better put some RV antifreeze in that, because it will freeze up and your fresh water will freeze up. Now, this guy's a little different because he's living in his full time, so he's got his heat on all the time.
Well, then that probably works for him, but I'd be a little nervous.
Yeah, now, it's a Class A, and he says that his freshwater tank is above the floor. Now, most RVs have it below the floor, I don't know. I don't know what unit he has, but if it seems to be working for him, that is great. But I'd hate other people to listen to that and say, oh, well, we don't have to put it in, because once that temperature gets down for a prolonged period of time, meaning several hours, from 28 on down, it's going to freeze.
This is a major investment, and I would do whatever your dealer, wherever you get your maintenance done, whatever they say to do, because you don't want to make a mistake.
Now, we're facing this decision. We have yet to winterize our. Here it is now, pretty much mid-November. We are down in the southern states. We're driving back to Michigan this weekend for a few days. We have a couple things we do, and then we're going to turn around and come back probably through Thanksgiving, and we've got to winterize sometime as we head north. One year, remember that year we drove and we didn't winterize, and it suddenly turned cold about Kentucky, and by the time we got to Michigan, even though we'd run in the heat and the car was running, that was a mess.
We had icicles.
It did freeze one of the lines. It didn't rupture, fortunately. So winterizing is not something to take casually. You need to put pink stuff in it. That's that RV-grade antifreeze. Nothing else, just RV-grade antifreeze. And we use our RV all year round. We drive it, but there are a couple of days that it sits there in the driveway that we're not taking it. And, well, we've had it mighty cold this last few years, and this year is going to be cold again, they tell me.
We don't want to make an expensive mistake. Something that can be avoided, you want to avoid it.
Yep. So I appreciate that tip for you. And I think that the reason you're doing all right, because you are living in yours full time up there in Pennsylvania. And if that's the case, that means you've always got heat on, and that helps. Now, we're going to a winter camp out that we've been talking about in the past couple of episodes. We meet with a group of people every year. We go up to Tequamanon Falls in Michigan's Upper Peninsula towards the end of January. There's always about, what, how much snow is on the ground up there?
Usually about 3 feet.
Yeah, 3 feet of snow on the ground.
But there's not supposed to be snow this year, so I wonder if there will be snow up there.
There will be snow.
There will always be snow in the Upper Peninsula.
There will be snow.
Yeah, that's true.
One year, remember, we didn't have any snow down by us in southeastern Michigan. We got in our vehicle and drove until we could find snow.
Oh, how can I forget that one? We stopped at a gas station. We had our dog, our sled dog, Ty, with us, and he got out, and he thought he died and gone to heaven.
Ty loved snow. Well, he has died, and he has gone to heaven, if there's a doggy heaven, and we miss him greatly still. We're sitting down here in this park in Florida wishing our dog was with us, but he loved the snow.
And he did.
We like it, too. We were talking with Kathy and Les, who you'll meet in later on in this episode. The other night, we were talking about winter and camping, and boy, they didn't want to hear anything about the snow, did they?
Well, you know, we're all different. Some people like snow, and others don't. It amazes me when we go to Minnesota, and we're up in those states, and people are just having a ball. There's skiing and snowshoeing, and they love it.
Yep, and that's what I think got us hooked on, is we started going up there in the winter in our RV, and we say, well, gee, this thing drives great. The challenge is there's not a lot of campgrounds open when you do winter camping, but we don't. The unit is antifreeze, so you don't have running water. You got to take bottled water, which we take, and then when you use the toilet, you flush with antifreeze. And that works just great for us.
Well, I mean, I would prefer not flushing with antifreeze. I'd prefer having to winterize, but we don't got to take care of our rig.
And we don't want to just let it sit there and not use it. And I'm telling you, winter camping is a ball. And once you dress right, it's fun. And we'll tell you all about it. You fair weather campers out there, you know who you are, who can't stand the cold. Well, more power to you. You can enjoy Florida. We've been out in Florida a lot this year, so we're looking forward to some snow.
I can relate to not liking the cold, because I don't like the humidity and the high heat.
Well, I don't either. And we were going to.
Oh, you do too.
Well, I.
You love it. You're telling me stories all these years?
No, I don't like it really humid. And I mean, I can live with it. It's okay. But I would rather take cold than heat.
Okay. Well, that's good.
That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying?
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, hey, we'll have to get us another sled dog.
We've had a couple of interviews that we wanted to share with you for some time, ever since we came back from Hershey, Pennsylvania. You know, we haven't done a blog post yet on Hershey. We got to do that. We took a lot of pictures and had little tour. That was fun.
It was fun.
But this was at the America's Biggest RV Show, they say. We don't really know if it's bigger. We think maybe Tampa is a little bigger coming up in January. But anyway, it's huge. It's a huge show. And we got around and we got on the floor and we met some folks and talked about some of the innovation that's going on. One of the first displays that we found that was pretty interesting had to do with solar. Lots of solar panels besides the stuff that you use to charge your main batteries on your RV. There's also some really interesting solar products out there, everything from a hat that you can have solar charged flashlights so you can read at night, to some really great generating systems that are all solar powered. So we had some fun. We ran into, and we'll put a link to this guy who had with his wife a little display, and they were selling all sorts of solar things. And we thought we would just put the recorder on and give you a couple, 3 minutes of some of the other options that you can take with you, accessories for your RV that has to do with solar power. Solar power, that's a big trend here at the RV show. I am with JRD Solar. Portable solar products. You've got everything. Everything.
Thank you.
Now tell me about, let's start with that $30 solar powered hat. What does it do?
The solar power hat, you need light anytime you have a light in your hat. For hiking, fishing, trekking, whatever you want it outdoors, you can do it with the solar hat.
Just wear it during the day? The sun charges it?
Yes, sun charges during the day. And at night, you always have a power. Once if you put the power on, it stays there for 4.5 weeks. I mean, 4.5 hours. And it has a flasher, which is SOS. And also it dims for fishing community. So that some people, they use it on the traveling for to read.
Yeah.
They do it. Especially the kids, those who are going for camping. They are not allowed to put the light on, so they... So that's why it's a solar hat.
Solar light.
And then it goes... it's a product of New Zealand.
And it goes all the way up to this Goal Zero Yeti 1250. And this is a... it's the size of a small generator, but it's really a battery system with solar. What does that do?
It's a deep cycle battery, and it's an AGM battery. It runs your refrigerator for 2 to 4 days. Alarm system, 10 days. Deep freezer for 8 days. You can run your television for 35 hours. It's versatile. And it has a Anderson clip. Those who are doing CB radio, they can also use this.
So
it's an emergency power all the time, even for devastation or hurricane or anything. If you don't have power for 4 days, it can be.
And it weighs, how much does that weigh?
It weighs 109 pounds. That's the reason it comes with the wheel. And also it comes with the cover, everything together, and with the lights.
All right, so we went from the $30 hat, and how much is this 1,250 unit?
1,250 units from JRD Solar is $1,900.
And all renewable power. You don't have to run it, but worry about gasoline power in this generator. Exactly. This does it all for 4 days.
You're having, this is the only noise you're getting it. Of course, my fan noise. Otherwise, this is the only noise we have it. And no oil, no gasoline, no carbon monoxide, nothing. The whole generator stays inside the house.
And you've got other powers. We'll send everybody to your website as well. And solar power. This is more than just up on the roof of the RV. It's stuff you can carry with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a pretty cool system. And for those of you who have really noisy gas-powered generators, and you know how noisy those are and how irritating they are and how many campgrounds prohibit their use because they're so irritating and annoying, this is pretty cool. This is a solar energy system. I'd call it a solar generator, but it isn't a generator because it basically harvests the power of the sun and takes it and charges up these massive deep cycle batteries And those batteries can give you up to 4 days of use for most of the stuff that you want to do in your RV, and it's totally silent. So I'll put a link to this this company. You can take a look at all of the other solar accessories besides the panels that we put up on the roof of these RVs. Solar accessories now making their way into the RV market, and we were pretty impressed by all that. If you're visiting any of the big RV shows that come up, I think there's only one now, one coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that later, and then they don't really start up until January, what with Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you know, it's just not a good time for RV shows. So I'm sure you'll see some of these accessories at RV shows around the country. Well, one of the other things that we saw had to do with our friends from Aldi. They are one of our sponsors, of course, here at roadtrekking.com. But Aldi has been pioneering in terms of heat system technology for RVs. And it's now available. A number of different RV manufacturers are incorporating Aldi systems in their vehicles. And as we were wandering through the show, we saw our friend from Aldi, and we stopped and we said, "Hey, it's that guy looks, look at that. That looks just like our buddy from Aldi." And true enough, it was Ken Elwell from Aldi. And we stopped and got a chance to have Ken tell us a little bit about what the hydronic system is and why so many RV manufacturers are interested in using that kind of a heating system. So here's Ken.
Well, we're with an old friend from Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. And by the way, Ken Elwell from Aldi, I came up with that code name.
Yes, that's right.
That's not bad.
No, it's good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Aldi, of course, is a sponsor of the podcast, but we're really here at the RV show in Hershey to talk about how technology has changed the way RVs are heated, and particularly the use of hydronic heat. What are we talking about when we're talking about a hydronic heating system?
Well, we use a propane burner to heat an antifreeze solution, and that antifreeze is then used and distributed around the interior of the coach through a convector system to produce the heat and hot water inside the coach. Big difference is the old forced air systems really put a lot of hot air in one position or one spot, and by using an antifreeze or radiant system or like a baseboard type heat, then we're able to distribute the heat evenly.
Now, we've talked before about how comfortable that is, but when you talk about a radiant heat system, how unusual is that for a recreational vehicle?
Well, I think it's very unusual. The forced air systems have been common for many decades. You'll find radiant systems in like Highline homes. It's much more common there. And for an RV, it really makes sense because you don't combine your furnace and your air conditioner together. So because this furnace is a standalone unit, you really should choose the best option for your heat output. And radiant heat is the best because it's totally silent. It uses the natural forces inside the coach. The cold air is heavier, so it falls to the ground. And the convectors heat that air, and so you have a natural circulation that doesn't stir up a lot of pollen or dust. The air is moist instead of dried out. And you'll have an even heat all throughout the interior, next to the windows, around the walls, the furniture. Everything has a warm touch to it, so your heat medium stays within the whole interior then.
Now, where else is this kind of heating system used, if not in, you said homes, high-end homes, but boats, for example? Have boats been using this?
Yeah, it can be found in boats. The baseboard or convector style heat is not something new. Especially in Europe and in places like that where they don't have a lot of forced air conditioning systems, water-based heat is very common. You see it in a lot of places.
Now, we know that, of course, you're in Road Trek motorhomes, but what other RVs are you in?
We sell to Winnebago. We also sell to the Tab trailers and the Cirrus camper. And there's other converters that use the system as well, but those are the main ones that are installing now the system now.
And it's this clean, quiet technology that makes hydronic heat so unusual for a recreational vehicle. One of the things that we've noticed in ours is you have a lot of different options that you can do. And what are some of the amenities that you can do with this kind of a heating system?
Well, once you have the boiler and the convector system, that's the backbone of the product. That's your heat and hot water. And then we can do floor heat options. We can do an engine heat exchanger that ties into the engines. When you're going down the road, the waste heat from the block is heating the interior. You can leave your propane off while you're traveling. When you reach your destination, everything is warm inside. Your hot water is ready for showers and for use. We can heat the tanks. So if you want four-season camping or really cold temperatures, you can be warm. There's towel warmers in the bathroom if that's an option that you want. Many different features like that, or we can put the hot water where you can use it.
That heated floor is a pretty neat option.
Yeah, I think the customers, it resonates with them the most, the floor heat, because it's something that you really feel, and if your feet are warm, then you feel comfortable.
Now, you mentioned the heated tanks. Does that do away then with the need to winterize an RV?
Well, it depends, I guess, on your usage. We don't recommend people not winterize, but it certainly allows you to use the coach when it's not summertime or an extended period. So in a sense, we're extending the summertime. You can take it skiing and whatnot.
And for those who are in probably those in-between climates along the center part of the U.S., for example, where it gets cold but it doesn't get sub-zero, that's where this would really extend your stay.
Yeah, very useful there. And a lot of times when people are traveling, it gets cold, so they might be going from one destination to another. It might be warm where they're headed, but getting from here to there, you need that heat in order to keep you from freezing up before you get there.
Well, you're showing up now in more and more RVs from different manufacturers, and we are delighted to be, you have you guys always a part of the podcast, but another way that technology is changing the face of RVing. Ken Elwell, Aldi, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Come on, that's a pretty good phrase, right?
Yeah, it's very good. I think I might steal it from you.
I think I should copyright that phrase.
I really did make up that phrase.
Yeah. I should tell our listeners that when we first started, they said, well, just talk about it. And so I just sort of made that up, and it's actually kind of rolls off pretty good now. So
we're all about the comfort, so that's the right name to know.
All right. Ken, thanks for spending some time with us.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos, and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, and their partner dealerships Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations across the U.S. All three have a great fly and drive program, and here's how it works. You call them up, you negotiate your best price over the phone for whatever unit you want, and then cut the deal, and then fly in to either Kalispell, Montana, or if you want to come into Las Vegas, or if you want to come into St. Louis, wherever you got your unit, they'll pick you up from the airport. They'll take you to the dealership. They'll give you a complete walkthrough, and then they'll reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then your RV, of course, is fully prepared for travel, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. Here's Dan, the van man, for what the specials are this week at Van City RV.
Mike. Hey, this week we have a new 2014 leftover CS Adventurous, loaded with all the options with the Aldi heat system, radiant floor, large refrigerator. Somebody's going to get a great deal this week. Give us a call at 1-800-467-3905. Hey, this week we're honoring our veterans this Wednesday. Everybody, thank a veteran out there for preserving our dreams in this great nation of ours. Thanks. Have a great day.
News.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the Road Trekking news of the week.
Well, we are, as I said, coming to you in Destin, Florida, just across the state over in Daytona Beach, Florida. The National Association of RV Parks and Campgrounds, in the business, they're known as ARVIC, recognized the achievements of top private park owners and operators and various state associations and all of the industry volunteers. They had their annual Outdoor Hospitality Conference and Expo in Daytona Beach, Florida. I had hoped that we could have gotten down there and attended that, and we just didn't get a chance, and we'll try it again next year. But one of of the things they do is they choose always the Park of the Year awards in various categories given to RV parks and campgrounds that deliver an extraordinary guest experience. This is kind of like the Emmys of the campground industry. So it's always important. And they're chosen as a result of all-around excellence in operations, in professionalism, in marketing, customer service, industry involvement. And we've got four of them for you. And we thought we would read those off and give a tip of the road trekking hat to these campgrounds, the top campgrounds in America for the year 2015. Ready? The small park of the year was the Beaver Dam Campground in Berwick, Maine. The Beaver Dam Campground, small campground of the year. The medium park of the year, the Jellystone Park at Cozy Rest in Harrisville, Pennsylvania. The large park of the year, the Normandy Falls Family Camping Resort in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And the mega park, the largest RV park of the year, biggest one, Carefree RV Resorts Sun and Fun RV Resort in Sarasota, Florida. So we congratulate these folks. The NARVAC is just a great group. RVAC is a great group. National Association of RV Parks and Campgrounds. They have some strong industry standards as they are trying to modernize many campgrounds, and they're working hard on lots of really great innovations for the next camping season. And those are their parks and campgrounds of the year. Beaver Dam Campground, Berwick, Maine, Jellystone Park, Cozy Rest, Harrisville, Pennsylvania, Normandy Farms, Family Camping Resort, Foxborough, Mass., and Carefree RV Resort, Sun and Fun RV Resort in Sarasota, Florida. Congratulations to all of you. It's a great story this week. It was all caught on dash cam. And I wonder if you saw it. We shared it. It was shared. One of our members of our Road Trekking Facebook group shared it with some of our members earlier this week. And I thought I'd mention it here in the podcast and put a link into it. It was actually a video that our friend David Bott, who has a blog called Outside Our Bubble, caught. He has a dash cam on his Class A motorhome, and he was in a park. And it was last Thursday, as a matter of fact. He was then visiting with a friend, and the friend looked out the window, and they saw a motorhome on fire. Now, they knew that the owner of that motorhome wasn't there, but his dog was, and the dog was trapped inside of this burning motorhome. So for 16 minutes, David and some of the other passersby and his friend took fire extinguishers, and they did their best to beat down the flames, and they didn't have much much hope that the dog, a dog named Zoe, would make it, because the, as you'll see in the video, I put a link on our show notes. You can look at it. But it's amazing how things change. And one minute, you know, they're thinking the dog is gone, because for about 15 minutes, this place is filled with smoke and fire. Finally, the fire department shows up, and they go inside expecting to find a dead dog. But the dog was hunched down in the front by the driver's side, and obviously scared, but they came out, and the dog is doing just fine. And by the way, that fire, if you saw the story, we put it on in one of our early episodes. There's a recall of Norcold refrigerators, one of the brands of them. And according to the fire inspector, they believe that that Norcold refrigerator is what caught on fire. It should have been recalled, should have been fixed, but maybe the owner didn't know. The RV ended up being a total loss. The owner was a full-timer, so sad thing. And it. But when you see those notices about recalls, like for that Norcold, make sure you did it. And by the way, another reason why you should make sure you have fire extinguishers aboard your RV, so that you can help should these things happen. And it's another example of how fast fire is, why you need to exit the vehicle right away, and you always want to have fire extinguishers. But happy ending to that story, and it's much of it's caught on video, and you can see that on, I'll put a link to David Bott's Outside the Bubble blog, where he outlines the whole episode. Very interesting. A couple of other stories in the RV news this week. In Pennsylvania, state police in Chambersburg are still looking for two unknown male suspects who they say drove into the Keystone RV lot in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. That's in Antrim Township. And what they did is they cut the power cords from 29 RVs. So there's apparently some money to be made in those power cars. After cutting the cords, they jumped out, ran out of the parking lot and left the scene in a tan Chevrolet pickup truck. Police are still searching for them, but 29 power cords ripped off and cut out of RVs in Pennsylvania. And then on the other end of the country, in the Pacific Northwest, up in Oregon, there was another dealership there that had been having all sorts of problems in Gresham, Oregon. And a dealership had been, in fact, the target of at least 20 burglaries in the past couple of months. And so police set them up. They knew that the thieves were breaking into RVs and trailers. They were stealing essentially flat screen TVs out of them. And so they did a stakeout. And while they were there, it was at the Blue Dog RV dealership, which had suffered $250,000 in losses from break-ins over the past several months. And by the way, one trailer was also taken by these thieves. So the Gresham cops says, we're going to know more of this. And so they started a stakeout on the dealership. And indeed, sure enough, they caught a guy breaking into a trailer and walking out with a 36-inch television. A 36-year-old guy arrested, and police believe other suspects are still out there. But they caught the bad guy, at least one of them, and they're narrowing their search down for the others. So good news for that dealership out in Oregon. All right, that's our RV news of the week. This portion is sponsored by Aldi. As you learned a few minutes ago, Aldi is the only name you need to know for choosing a heating system for your RV. That hydronic system brings many features and benefits that you can't get with any other heating system for your RV. It's a silent, radiant heat. It's even. It's moist. It's not that irritating, dry, forced air heat that comes from just a propane system. Even though the Aldi system works on propane, it works through this special antifreeze that is heated up, and just like in a home, a high-end home, that baseboard heat, you get the same sort of heat in your RV. Plus, you also can have options like heated towel racks, or our favorite that we have in our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. We have the heated floors, and that is really great. So check it out. Aldi will put it. There's a link on the show notes page, and you can learn more about them as you move right along. So Aldi, it is the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
Okay, have you ever been on the road and you get an email from somebody and they need you to scan them a document, or they send you something and you need to print it out and scan it? And how do you do that? You don't have a scanner. You're in an RV. Do you have to drive into town and go to an office supply store or whatever? Well, here's some tips, because in many ways, you don't need a scanner anymore because you have a smartphone. Almost everybody has a smartphone. I think 82% of the people out there now have a smartphone, last study I saw. And in many ways, smartphones, you know, like the Apple iPhone 6 or the Samsung Galaxy Edge, they have come to replace cameras, TVs, and handheld video recorders, because you can just take them with you. Well, add one more thing they replaced, the scanner. And that's because a growing number of really cool apps can replace that bulky scanner that you have to bring along with you. And therefore, you don't have to worry about capturing anything in terms of a document. So you'd use the camera on your smartphone, but then you use one of these apps. And I've got three that I want to represent for you. And you can actually go to the show notes page for this episode, roadtrekking.com/61. I'll have links to them. So if you're driving in your RV or driving in your car, or if you're working out at the health club, you don't have to stop and write this down. Just go to the show notes page later on. All you need to remember is 61, roadtrekking.com/61, and you'll find a link to it. But the first one, for you Apple users who use the iOS system, it's called Rettles Scanner Pro. And this is really a neat app. It's capable of easily handling anything that you can throw its way. You take a picture of whatever it is you want to scan, and then the program in this little app makes whatever's in the picture look scanned, especially useful I have found is this function that allows you to upload scanned images to Dropbox, which is, you know, an online cloud storage system. You can get a free account. I use that all the time. Or Evernote, which is another program I love to use. Evernote is kind of a note-taking organizational file. I can actually go paperless because I use Evernote. I don't know if I've ever talked about Evernote and Dropbox before. Maybe I'll do that in one of our upcoming technology tips and tell you how I use it. But also Google Drive, so you can upload these scanned images into all of those services, and it's really neat. Or you can scan something, take a picture of it, and then have it look scanned, and then you can email it to somebody else by just pushing the send button. So it's a really handy feature, and that's for iOS. It's called Rettles Scanner Pro. It's $2.99, almost $3. You Android users, here's one you want to consider. It's called the Mobile Doc Scanner 3 Plus OCR, and of course OCR stands for Optical Character Recognition. Long name for an app, but this is for Android users. And it will do same thing. It transforms anything from receipts and invoices to whiteboards. If you're, you know, seeing something on a whiteboard you want to capture, or maybe it's a magazine or a newspaper article, it does all sorts of really cool things. You take a picture, you let the program do its thing, and then you have a file that looks like every other scan you've ever made. And best of all, you can take a bunch of pictures on the fly, let the software process them later, and it allows you to upload same thing as the Scanner Pro app to any cloud-based service like Dropbox or Evernote. Price on the Google Play Store is $4.99. for the Mobile Doc Scanner 3 Plus OCR app. And one more app, I really like this app. It's this works for iOS devices, Apple devices, for Android devices, for Windows devices, and it's called Genius Scanform. And it's from a company called Grizzly Labs. It works like the others that I just told you about. You take a picture, and the software makes whatever's in that picture look scanned. Genius Scan gives a ton of other options, like fingerprint security, so nobody can get in except you with your fingerprint. Also, you have the ability to assign a password to a specific scan. So if it's maybe something medical records, and you want to keep that confidential, you can set a password for it so nobody's going to snoop on you. And, of course, it lets you send scans to the cloud. So there you go. Use your smartphone as a scanner. You don't have to get a scanner for your RV, and those apps will really help you a bunch. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Verizon, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Software update now rolling out on the Verizon Cloud app, which adds two new features, Smart Albums and the Print Shop. These are software updates on the Verizon Cloud. If you use that, the Verizon Cloud app, thanks to a collaboration of Real Networks, can now automatically create smart albums and stories to help you and your memories organize. This is a great tool for RVers, because we're always taking pictures of the campgrounds we go, the places we see, our own RV, and you can organize these in smart albums and stories with the Verizon Cloud app. The app selects your best photos and videos. It organizes them into different smart albums based on events and locations. Does this all automatically. And these albums can then easily be shared. They're stored in the cloud, so you'll be able to access them from anywhere. Real-time stories are video montages set to music that are automatically created from your photo and video memories. You can customize the story montages as well to add your own music to really personalize them using that real-time app that comes with it. Some photos are meant to be framed and seen outside of a mobile device, and you'll be able to print photos that you have stored in the cloud. You can order photos as well as canvas, metal, and framed prints from Photo Bucket, all within that Verizon Cloud app, which has just been updated. It's really a great app. If you use Verizon, you want that app, I tell you. And here's the deal. For a limited time, Verizon Cloud users will be able to receive a 50% discount off their order by using a special promo code. And I will link to that on the show notes page here, as well as send you to an email address where you can get more information about the Verizon Cloud. But it's on the show notes page. Just go to roadtrekking.com/61.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events
and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, this is just about now the downtime for RV gatherings and rallies and events. We just finished up a lot of them all over the country that started in September, and they kind of go right through early November. And the last one that I have on our schedule anywhere in the country is coming up in December, and it's December 10th through the 13th in Indio, California. And it's at the Riverside County Fairgrounds out there. It is the Palm Springs Area RV Show and Sale. And it's a pretty big show. It has, of course, some great bargains on 2015 models. And you also can look at some of the early 2016s that are in stock. And that is the next big event that I know, a big RV show around the country. And that's coming up December 10th through the 13th, Riverside County Fairgrounds in Indio, California. So check it out. I've got a link to it on the show notes page, and you can go. And then everything sort of dies down for just a little bit until right after the first of the year, and then everything kicks off and the whole winter RV show schedule starts. And the big one coming up, of course, early January is the one in Tampa, which, if not the largest, is second only to Hershey, or Hershey is second only to it. And then there's Pomona, which is in the fall, but and they argue they're one of the biggest ones too. But I think Tampa is probably the biggest RV show, and that's not coming up until January. I'll tell you about that in an upcoming episode. But if you want to go to an RV show, the only one I've got on the schedule here now of any significance is the one coming up December 10th through the 13th at the Riverside County Fairgrounds in Indio, California.
What's on your RV
bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
All right, our destination of the week, and there's a really great blog post at roadtrekking.com that our Road Trekking reporters Roger and Lynn Brucker just did for us. And this is really a great area. It is Utah's Highway 12. It is a terrific road. We actually, Jennifer and I drove that in May of this year and had a great time. It's easy access for those who are cruising I-15. I-15, of course, bisects Utah going north and south. And Route 12, Highway 12, Utah Highway 12, starts in the southwest corner, begins at U.S. Route 89 just north of Hatch, Utah, and within a few miles enters the Bryce Canyon National Park. They paved the last section of Utah Road, Route 12, in 1987. And Highway 12 sort of disappears where it joins Highway 24 up at Torrey, which is the entrance to the Capitol Reef National Park. So the road is just a great scenic route all in itself, but it connects the Red Canyon part of the Dixie National Forest. It connects Bryce Canyon National Park, the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, and, of course, as I said, Capitol Reef National Park. And these are outstanding scenic natural areas in their own right. But if you drive this 124 Utah Route 12, the connecting road between them all, you'll also see it's just every view out your RV window is a scenic delight. It twists and it winds and climbs and descends and snakes its way from literally, as Roger and Lynn say, one beautiful place to another. We were just thoroughly in love with that drive. Shortly after you enter the southern part of the state scenic byway 12, you pass through U.S. Forest Service's Red Canyon, and then there's two short tunnels and bright red rock masses. And as I said, Bryce National Park, you know that. It's famous worldwide for red water-carved pinnacles. But there's so much more. You'll see on this route Vermilion Cliffs and White Cliffs and Pink Cliffs and Badlands and steep switchbacks. So make a list of it, and that's one you want to try. Utah's Highway 12. It is an awesome place to visit if you're traveling west. This part of the podcast brought to you by Leisure Time RV, serving Central Florida and the internet from Winter Garden, Florida. Wherever you are in North America and you're shopping for an RV, you want to make sure that you have Leisure Time RV on your list. Find out what you want and then call these guys. They love to deal with people all over the country. It's a family-owned dealership, and they're located in Winter Garden, Florida, which is not too far from Orlando. They've been in business for 45 years, consistently ranked among the very top Road Trek Class B dealers in North America. They have a full line of the Road Trek inventory, but they have travel trailers and used RVs. And Jennifer and I have just been so impressed by these folks. Great, nice, family-organized group. We visited Leisure Time RV. We've gotten to meet the staff and are so impressed by their integrity and first-rate service and the way they love to deal. And they love to say their ideas, hey, look, if you're going to buy an RV, where do you want to take possession of it? Up in a cold northern state? Come down to Florida, take possession there, and then your first trip, you can head to the beaches and the sun. Hey, we had some fun with Leisure Time RV when we visited, and they're great guys. In fact, they help out. There's a big rally they're helping out in Kissimmee this week, the technology rally, and they're over there just volunteering their time and showing some rigs off and helping people with any questions they have. Here's Wynn from Leisure Time RV with what's happening this week.
Good day, fellow road trekkers. Wynn from Leisure Time RV with you today. Looking forward to seeing a lot of you at the TNC rally in Kissimmee on Thursday. We have three Sprinter models available that have factory incentives on them, a 2015 RS, a 2015 CS, and a 2015 CS with the E-Trek package. Make your best deal with us and get an extra $6,000 from Road Trek. This program ends on November 30th, 2015. Call us at 1-800-336-6565. Or email us admin@leisuretimerv.com. You can see all of our units at leisuretimerv.com. Also available is a 2011 190 Popular with only 16,500 miles on it. That's right, 16,500 miles. Call us at 1-800-336-6565. Email admin@leisuretimerv. Our website, leisuretimerv.com. And remember, your vacation starts with Leisure Time RV.
All right. Thank you, Wynn, for checking in, and give them a call. See what they got. If you're looking for an RV, you want to start your vacation at Leisure Time RV. Well, we have the title of this episode, An RV is More Than an RV. And we've talked already about some of the uses of it and some of the new technology that is shaping RVs and how that some of the same innovations that heat high-end homes, for example, can now heat RVs and how solar technology is becoming part of the accessories of an RV. But there are lots of different uses of an RV besides traveling and then camping for extended periods of time for a two-week vacation or however you may want to do it. We met about 4 years ago. One of the many different road trekking family people that we've come, and we do consider this a family, all of us that are out there, and all sorts of small motorhomes, not just road trek. When we talk about road trekking, it's a lifestyle, and you can be in any kind of a motorhome at all to be a part of our little community out there. But two of our favorite people are Les and Kathy. They're from right near Toledo, Ohio. That's their Sticks and Bricks home. But we've met them literally all over the country. We had a chance the other night to meet them down here in Destin, Florida, where they happen to have a condo. And we went out for dinner with them. And I thought that the way they use their little RV, their little road trek, that you may want to listen in on this. If you're thinking about an RV and you're not sure, well, how much time am I going to get to go camping? There's so many other things you can do with it. And here's our interview. I think you'll enjoy meeting these guys, Les and Kathy. Well, Kathy and Les join us right now. Hey, guys. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Hi.
How you doing?
Now, we met, I guess, about 4 years ago at an RV show in Michigan.
We did, right? Yeah. Novi.
Right now, we're actually sitting in your condo in Destin, Florida.
We are. Yes. Paradise.
It is paradise. Now, let's go and talk about your road trek. This is your second RV, your second road trek. What is it, Les?
That's correct. It's an 06 Chevy 190 Versatile.
And what was the first one you had?
It was a 190 Popular.
Now, Kathy, how did you get into the RV lifestyle? I mean, what were you doing before? What led you into a road trek?
Well, Les likes to travel. And because he likes to travel, and that's what I did when I was working, was traveling, I was not all that excited about it, doing it. So what happened was we were driving around, and I saw a cute little RV that was a Rialta. And I thought, that could possibly be something that we would like.
That's a small Class B, a Rialta.
Yeah. And that's kind of as far as it went. But the reason it appealed to me was I saw that they have their own beds, and I would have to travel sometimes 2 weeks out of every month on the road, and I wanted my own blanket and my own pillow and my own sheets.
Now, this was in your job? What did you do, by the way?
I was a corporate real estate manager, and my backyard was basically the United States.
So you got sick of hotels and worrying about bed bugs and all that stuff?
Yes, by the way,
we say that, people think we're laughing. That is a real serious issue at most hotels.
It's a huge issue. Yes, it's a huge issue.
I don't think people realize how many hotels, and nice upscale hotels, have problems with bed bugs.
Yes, and very scary.
Yeah.
Very scary.
So you're traveling a whole lot. Les wants to travel. You don't think you want to travel, and then you see a little small Class B van. Mm-hmm. Take us from there.
So that kind of took us off into looking into things, is how we ended up at the Novi show and started looking at all the different possibilities, and the road trucks really caught our eye with the quality that they were.
Well, and you had, on your internet searching, you had come upon Mike and the fact that he was down here in the Panhandle at the time.
And had
a road truck.
That's right.
We were actually at an RV park not too far from your condo.
Yeah, you had your family down here with you. I think you rented a house or something.
Yeah, we've done that. But I think the time we met, we were camped...
Before we met, though.
Oh, yes. Really?
That's where she saw
you. Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
You saw us in the...
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then we ended up, one time we were down here, we were in our RV at the Destin West RV park.
That's right.
Well, so you're a little bit different than most RVers in that you don't spend a lot of time overnighting in it, although you do. Tell us about your lifestyle on the road trek. First of all, the travel.
Well, we've got a daughter and granddaughter in New York City, over on the Astoria on the east side, and so we make trips over there. And before they were in Astoria, they were out a little farther on the island, and we would actually just pull in their driveway, plug in, and we were all set until we were ready to head back home.
Now, why didn't you stay in their house?
Because I want my bed and my sheets and all my stuff.
This is your home, right?
Yes.
This is home, and you take your home with you.
Yes.
So one of it is you do driveway camping.
Yes, we have done driveway camping with our son in Virginia, and as Les said, in New York. And then they had the nerve to move into Astoria, and in a little tiny apartment. So we ended up boondocking a couple times on the streets in New York.
Now, I have a picture you sent us that we're going to put with this podcast. And Les, it looks like you're parked at a curb.
Oh, yes.
Right in the middle of town.
Well, right next to a park. Right next to a real nice park.
And
right across the street from apartments where our daughter lives.
Which is why we like the road trek, because it could be stealth-like. I am about stealth-like. Now, mind you, you can't look like you're camping when you're in New York doing that. And I don't know what would happen from that. But, I didn't have my television on. The lights were, pretty inconspicuous. And we had no problem.
So you do a lot of visiting with family, and I know you have, just because we have seen you, you visit some of the road trek gatherings, some of the RV gatherings, you take your vehicle, so it's not that you're not spending the night on it. But here you are in Florida, you have a condo in Florida, a place in Michigan, and you also just recently got a travel trailer that you stay on a lake in Michigan.
Yep, Devil's Lake.
And talk about that part of the lifestyle, using the road trek to go back and forth between your bases.
Well, once again, you have everything you need. And when we're not in the road truck, in one of our other vehicles, it's just like, everything is there. I have all my stuff there, and it just makes life simple. And kind of restful, actually. You know, all your supplies are there. My shampoo, everything I need is there.
Now, there's still one other use that I want you to share, too, because I think a lot of people do that. You also are an artist and do a lot of craft and artwork. Tell us about that and then how that fits into your RV time.
Well, that usually was around home base in Michigan, but now that we're both retired, we're kind of expanding, and I'm just kind of giving it a touch of, you know, how that's going to fit in. Now, if we take our tent along, which is an artist tent, a 10 by 10 tent, that takes a lot of the space, but we hauled everything down from Michigan into Florida, and the road truck enabled us to get all that stuff in there and, you know, get down here. So it was actually like a cargo van almost in
and
that
then
sense.
And I suppose when you're at a show like that, you've got a place to stay in the road truck.
Yes,
right.
If we
That's
need
right.
Yep.
Yeah. So your advice to those who think, well, I'm not going to be doing a ton of RVing. It's much more than an RV, this small motorhome lifestyle.
It is much more than an RV. It makes your life enjoyable, less stressful. I mean, it has everything that you could possibly want. So,
unless your thoughts on it?
Well, we like to come down here. It's 14 hours of driving, if just driving.
Then from your home in Michigan to Florida,
Michigan. So we would tend to have a long day driving because of the fact that she didn't like to stay in motels. And so we get up and hit the road and get in here late and change it on the other way around. Now we take off and we tried it. Well, we don't quite make the 330 rule.
That's
but
my whole rule. Yeah. 330 miles or 330 in the afternoon.
But we have at least split it up in half, and then we've actually done a couple of days and split it up in three. But it's, you didn't have to, you know, you could decide where you wanted to stop.
But even here in Florida, having the ability to have your home base, mm-hmm. but then you have your home on wheels and you can go everywhere.
That's right. We have no limitations. So we can go from here anywhere around the area or even consider going further down in Florida.
Well, Kathy and Les, thanks for sharing your small motorhome lifestyle story.
Thank you.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Indeed, we will. Thank you all for listening to this episode, number 61. If you're interested in seeing that picture of Les and Kathy's road trek, their RV, as they did some stealth camping in New York City, look on the show notes page here, roadtrekking.com/61. You'll also have links to all the other things we talked about, from our bucket list destination of the week to links on the news stories and Jennifer's book tips. All that you'll find on the show notes page. Would you do me a big favor, though? Because we're trying to get this RV lifestyle podcast out to as many people as possible, you need to get folks to subscribe. And one of the strange things, the more people who subscribe, the higher up it goes in the ratings. So would you do that? If you have not yet subscribed to this podcast, all you have to do is click the subscribe button. You can find it on the roadtrekking.com website, or go through iTunes, click subscribe there. That really helps. Also, we love those reviews. Those 5-star reviews you've had are very encouraging to Jennifer and I. Be sure and send us along your tips, your ideas, what you'd like to hear us cover in future episodes. We'll be back next week. We're going to have a lot of fun next week talking with a guy about how you can make money writing from the road. You ever thought of writing a book? Everybody, I meet a lot of RVers say, you know, I got a book. I'd love to write a book. Well, anybody can write a book now, and anybody can have it out in front of the marketplace. You don't need an agent. You don't need to have a big publishing company. Everything has changed now with ebooks. So we're going to talk about a guy who's writing a great detective series about a guy who travels around in an RV. You'll meet him and some tips on how you can make a living writing from the road. That's coming up in next week's episode.
Meantime, keep in touch with the blog, roadtrekking.com, or our Facebook group. We'd love to have you be a part of that, too. It's up 24/7, and people are always talking. You got questions, comments, needs, need some help troubleshooting a problem, that's a good place for you to go, our Facebook group. Till then, though, till next week, next Wednesday, with another episode of the podcast, I'm Mike Wendland saying thanks for listening and putting us in your ear. See you out there, everybody.